Hi, the Black Talk Media Project would like to invite you to become a member of the BTR Community subscription-based social media platform. BTR Community is a platform that was set up for the listening audience of Black Talk Radio Network, the number one independent Black radio network online. For just $24 per year, your subscription gives you access to an interactive space to share information with like-minded people with your privacy guaranteed. Your subscription will go a long way to help us maintain and improve our current media platforms. It will also help provide a budget so that we can begin the task of establishing localized media centers and radio stations across the United States. The best way to show your support and appreciation for what we do here at Black Talk Radio is to subscribe. Help us to help you be informed. Join BTRCommunity.com today.
The views and opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Interview, but just a conversation with myself and with you concerning one of the most critical subject matters that we can speak about. That is the liberation of our people. And from that context, when we think about it, the question becomes, who is really in the forefront of our people's liberation? And without doubt, it's those who have given their lives for our people. We certainly think of George Jackson, and he's known for many things, of course, his two books, Soledad Brothers, Letters from George, something like that, and then Blood on My Eye. From that writings, we take out, quote, "If my enemies, your enemies, prove stronger, at least I want them to know that they made one righteous African man extremely angry. They'll never count me among the broken men." George Jackson. With sad news, well, let me say with great respect and acknowledgement, Richard Rafundi Lake is also one to be counted. Never to be counted among the broken men. This is a political prisoner. Came out the wrong side of the prison. He's left prison, but not the way that we wanted him to leave prison. He left. When he made his transition last week, today is what, the 26th of January, so I guess it must have been 18th, 19th. I'll get the exact date. Close friend of mine. And as we speak to the life, heroic life of his brother, first thing is to send condolences out to Wayne, his wife, and their family and all their children, and their families, extended family. We send our deepest condolences. And I know he would want me to say, okay, well, get the rest of us out. If you didn't get me out the front door, let's get out. Romaine Chip Ferguson, Ensign 69. Rochelle Sinke Marquis, Ensign 71. Dalil Mutakim, Ensign 71. Ed Poindexter, Ensign 71. Russell Maroon Schultz, Ensign 72. Muhammad Fred Burton, Ensign 1970. Sundikala Sundiata Akoli, Ensign 73. Herman Bell, down since 73. Reverend Joy Powell, down since 2006. Barasa Bowles, down since 73. Anif Shabazz Bey, down since 73. Robert Seth Hayes, down since 73. Joseph Jojo Bowen, down since 73. Mufundi Lake, he was down since 83. Gary Tyler, down since 74. Kenny Zulu Whitemore, down since 77. Ohare Mutalo, down since 77. Edward Goodman Africa, down since 78. Janine Phillips Africa, down since 78. Debbie Sims Africa, down since 78. Delbar Orr Africa, down since 78. Janet Holloway Africa, down since 78. Mike Africa Sr., down since 78. Chuck Africa, down since 78. Kojo Omani Sabahu, down since 81. Umia Abu-Jamar, down since 82. Greg Milton, down since 95. Dr. Matul Shakur, down since 1986. Bomani Shakur, down since 1993. Maumeen Kabir, down since 95. Jamil Abdullah Al-Amin, down since 2002. Kamal Fred Hilton, down since 2002. Abdul Aziz, down since 73. We have Patrice Lumumba Ford, down since 2002. Ronald Reed, down since 2005. Amina Farah Ali, down since 2011. Awad Muhammad Hassan, down since 2011. Clifford Lumumba Fuch, down since 73. We also know that political prisoners released since years in prison. Safia Bukhari, 1983. Asante Austin Omawali, down, I guess is the year they came out in, 1985. Daruba Ben Wahad. Okay, I see. Okay, the way it's listed, it says the date they got out and the years they were down. Sophia was down for 9. Asante was down for 11. Asante. Daruba Ben Wahad was down for 19 years out in 1990. Robert King down for 29 years out in 2001. Jack Ivory Johnson down for 38 years, 2010. Sekou Kambui down for 39 years out in 2014. Sekou Dinga down for 33 years down out in 2014. Marshall Eddie Conway down for 44 years out in 2014. Maliki Shakur Watani down for 37 years out in 2016. Albert Woodfox down for 44 years out in 2016. Zola Azani down for 35 years out in 2017. Prisoners of War in Exile, Pete O'Neill, 1970, Asata Shakur, 1979, Nihani Abiodundi, 1990, prisoners of war who died in prison. And of course, this is just a short list. Wasi Balagoon, 1985, down for 5 years. Moral Africa down for 20 years, 1998. Albert Noah Washington down for 20 years and died in 2000, in exile, excuse me, in 2000. This is exiles. No, I'm sorry. These are those who died in prison. Teddy Jah Heath down for 28 years, 2001. Warren Wells Sr. down for 18 years, 2001. Bashir Hamid down for 26 years, 2018. Herman Wallace down for 13. Phil Africa down for 37 years, died in 2015. Mondo Wee Langa down for 45 years, died in 2016. Abdullah Majid down for 34 years, 2016. Reading from this poster, Free All Black Political Prisoners. Many people in prison are there more for who they are than what they did. Political prisoners are those who have struggled against racist and oppressive systems and been locked up as a result of this struggle. They are men and women who are part of the Black resistance and the Black liberation movement. They consciously fought racism, oppression, colonialism, and imperialism. They are locked up not just for their beliefs, but also for their actions they took in support of their beliefs. These brothers and sisters sacrificed their freedom to help the masses. Most were unjustly charged with major felonies and sentenced to ridiculously long sentences, some never to get out. Many political prisoners began their activism in the civil rights and anti-war movement before being part of an organization called, such as the Black Panther Party, or Republic of New Africa, or Black Liberation Army. These and other revolutionary organizations came under intense pressure from the federal government and law enforcement at all levels, most notably the FBI counterintelligence program, COINTELPRO, which was set up to spy on, harass, intimidate, imprison, or kill activists who were viewed as a serious threat. They attempted to hide the political nature of these arrests behind false criminal charges. This post includes many political prisoners, but by no means do we consider these the only ones. Space does not allow a more comprehensive listing. The overwhelming majority of these prisoners were members of the Black Panther Party and the Black Liberation Army. We have included the year and state of incarceration. Unfortunately, most of these brothers and sisters remain incarcerated after decades for crimes they did not commit. For those who want to get a copy of this poster, you can write to Black Seeds, Inc. And their address is 17th Street Northeast, Washington, D.C., 2002. I'll repeat that again. It's Black Seeds, Inc., 1217-17th Street Northeast, Washington, D.C., 2002. And their phone number is 202. You can even send them an email at blackseeds1@netscape.net or visit their website, www.blackseeds.org. So, it's with sadness that we commemorate the life of Richard Mofundi Lake as he now is with and being introduced to all the ancestors. And going through my folder, and if you was in communication with Fundy, you need to vote it, because I don't know how he did it, but he gave me more information than I gave him. I mean, the brother was like a librarian, you know. He would send me articles like on a routine basis. Here's one article: 17-year-olds beating racist question of racial motivation. Mother. Son's attack, which she says was spurred by his support of police, should be prosecuted as a hate crime. This article's talk about a double standard. Here's an article: when Black female West Point seniors put their own spin on the traditional graduation photo, it caused controversy. The photo shared widely on social media was interpreted by some to be a political statement and a potential violation of Defense Department rules concerning political activities while in uniform. So, like George, Mufundi was a brother who maintained his manhood under the harshest conditions, when those of us in minimal security couldn't put a match to the flame that this brother was in terms of standing up for his people. I remember that he used to run a Black History program in prison, but because it became so popular and people were listening to him, they had to cut off the avenue that would give them the political education to develop the political consciousness and therefore affect those they were in contact with, those who were down and those who were out here in minimum security. And to the warden, but it wasn't reversed. He was a brother who constantly, and I don't even know how, was able to assemble a library in his own cell in terms of books and videos, and he just never gave up in terms of his people, and he never backed off from his position. When you saw him one way, you saw him the same way every single time. It was the same man, not biting his tongue, not betraying his people, not forfeiting the struggle for liberation of our people. Brother Mufundi was an incredible human being that even with oncoming medical conditions, it was like, well, okay, so next. He would just keep walking, you know. He had some medical complications, but none that we thought were death threatening. I haven't spoken to his wife a few days now. They were going to conduct the autopsy, so I don't have those results. And at whatever time she may be willing and able to, you know, be on interview to talk about her husband, that will be welcomed. But right now, we'll just send our prayers. Remember Brother Mufundi and all those other brothers I mentioned and sisters, either those who are still incarcerated wrongly so, those who are prisoners of war and exile, and certainly those who have already made their transitions while being a captive in the mass prison industrial complex. So we know that the complex is there not only to retard and retain, but we know it's there to exploit. From the moment in this period in which Africans have been intertwined with this this land, it's been many thousand years before we were as well, but this particular period, initiated first through indentured servitude that was elevated to chattel slavery, to sharecrop system, to the convict lease system, to the Jim Crow system, and now the new Jim Crow system. So it hasn't been any change. People think it's a change, but it's just an illusion. Why? It's because we, as ancestry Maori Obadeli teaches us, he asks the fundamental question. When did we consent to any of those stages? When did we consent to any of that? We never did. And that's why it's important for us to understand that is a right that no one can take and usurp for us, but it's a right that we have to maintain. The right to have a plebiscite, to vote for what we want our relationship to be to this criminal nation, this criminal it's really a multinational state, as Imari Obadeli teaches us. But this requires political education, the same political education that Mofundi was talking about. This requires organizing the people, the same type of organizing that Mofundi did. This requires sustained movement to build our strength and to build our numbers that Brother Mofundi constantly engaged in. So we can look at him as an example of what is to be done. And if we follow his lead, we will get to where we need to be. Not only freedom in terms of the hereafter and the spirit world, but freedom right here on this planet. Malcolm X or Hajj Malik said it very clearly. We demand our human rights. I'm a man that demand my human rights that I intend to bring into fruition by any means necessary. We are saddened, truly saddened by the loss, the transition of this brother, because we wanted him to walk out the front door where he should have been never arrested, let alone tried and convicted and falsely imprisoned. But we didn't enjoy that. And we won't enjoy that until we become a free people with full human rights, with the right of self-determination, with the right of development, and the right of self-defense. That's what our struggle has always wanted, and that's what it will always want on the inside, consciously or spirit of freedom that all humans feel inside, deep inside, even if they can't articulate it, they feel it. They know what's there, and they know when they've been wrong. Don't always know how to do or to exact the type of justice that would rectify the situation. But the feeling of injustice is there. It's a bitter taste. It's a very nasty taste. Taste that we all have, but we try to cover it up. Try to cover it up with things we buy. We try to cover it up with overworking ourselves. We try to cover it up with pornography, with alcohol, with too much sex. We try to cover it up, that bitterness, any way we can, because it's so distasteful. But we have to face that reality. And as Mofundi did, and when we face it, it brings out the best in us. So this is Najima Weedy. Listen to Race Treaty, doing a very informal tribute to my beloved friend and teacher, Mofundi Lake. So we're going to take a station break at this point. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Good evening again. Or I might say good morning, because that's when this is being taped, in the morning. But if you're hearing it, it'll be in the evening. We come to you every Friday, for the most part. It is 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And this program is dedicated to Mufundi Lake, a brother who dedicated his life to our people and to our liberation. And as a result of that, was falsely accused and captured. Escaped once or twice, I think. I know at least once. Was recaptured. Neutralized him to retard our struggle for liberation and to remove from public sight the man with his conscience and with his dedication so that he couldn't influence others around him. I'm not sure how many years he was in solitary confinement out of the third. He was down for, what, 34, 35 years. Not sure how many until that time he was in solitary confinement, but I'm sure he had, you know, a running tab on that one. Why? Because he refused to submit. Early in the program, I had given you a quote, famous quote from ancestor revolutionary George Jackson. If my enemies, your enemies, prove stronger, at least I want them to know that they made one righteous African man extremely angry. They'll never count me among the broken men. And I was saying that that statement so aptly applies to Brother Ancestor Mufundi. You will not count him amongst the broken. He continued when I visited him last, day before my birthday, December 2nd, 2017, he was in a wheelchair. I'm not sure if he could walk or just needed the wheelchair for, mobilization. But I can still see his face and him smiling, making jokes and all kind of stuff, you know. My relationship with the family is quite astounding. Astounding in that when I went to see him about 2 years ago, his wife, in fact, allowed me to stay in her home. In fact, even gave up her bedroom. That's how gracious she was. So I could be comfortable, this traveler coming from New York, going to Birmingham. And I mentioned that to say, I went down there with the intention of giving them some type of comfort, but I came back feeling guilty because they gave me more comfort than I could have ever given them. And that's how people, you know, under adverse, you know, extreme circumstances, we still have this loving way about us. It's amazing. I remember seeing the film Django on Candyland, and the so-called slave master was giving this talk on what's the difference. Why would this enslaved African who was shaving his father's beard for, I don't know, umpteen years, he said, why wouldn't he cut his throat? It's like, wait a minute, you got me under captivity and harsh conditions, and you got the razor, and you won't do it. And what he said was that there was a certain a dimple, a certain kind of space that alluded to the fact that we have this compassion, this exceeding amount of compassion, more so than anyone else. And yeah, that just may be true. I mean, of course, we can say sometimes it doesn't seem that way, particularly how we act towards one another, but that's more a question of the oppression we've experienced, internalized, and duplicated, replicated. But it is something to look into. Is it? You know, how is it that I go down to comfort them and I wind up being comforted and embarrassed almost in terms of how kind and considerate they were to me, not only that time, but all the times I've been there. So, Fundy Lake hopefully will be actually putting together a program with people who were in his life that could be his family or other patriots. And previously I read off, I guess, about 30, 40 names that was prepared by Black Seeds Incorporated. They're located at 17th Street Northeast, Washington, D.C., 2002, zip code. And you can call them 202-398-4104. For a copy of this poster. So we would want to get that and hang it on our wall and use it as a way to educate our families, to educate our blocks, to educate our communities about these heroes and sheroes, who they are, what they've done, and how they are suffering the brunt of this racist system that continues to oppress us and to keep all of us in captivity. Malcolm said, don't be surprised if I tell you that I was in prison. You are in prison too. So it's not just a prison war, political reality. If you don't have consent over your life and over your institutions, you're in prison. It may appear to be comfortable because you have food and you have heat, and as I do, but I don't have a delusion about it. Our people are not free. And yes, I want everyone to experience, have a house and have heat and food. But I also want our people to have freedom. There was a proposal I was reading in terms of teaching Black children. And it said, alive and free. And that's what we want to be. We want to be alive. You know, we want our children to be alive and we want them to be free. Very, very poignant, alive and free. What do we want for our children? What do the children want for themselves? They want to be alive and they want to be free. And their life, everything begins with life. So we can see why that would be first. And we'd see why it would be so in the case of Black children, certainly young Black boys. Yeah. But as a people, we want to be alive. We want to be free. We want individuals to be alive and free. We want families to be alive and free. We want our communities to be alive. We want our nation to be alive and free. And this is what these brothers and sisters have done. They have given their lives to that purpose, to be alive and to be free. And in so doing, they themselves have forfeited their life and forfeited their freedom. And we cannot allow them to languish in these prison jails throughout the country. So for the next few programs, we hope to bring onto Race Treaty those organizations like Jericho Movement, aging people in prison. Bring on those individuals and organizations that are doing the work that's in constant contact with our political brothers and sisters and doing everything they can for their release. And we know that there have been so many cases where DNA have found people innocent of charges that they knew, the courts knew they were innocent of in the beginning, but they couldn't keep up the lie in face of the evidence. So we have to continue to mount a campaign to free our political prisoners. And let's be clear, when we do these things, we're not doing it for them. We're doing it for ourselves. We're doing it for the people we choose to be, who they have chosen to be. So these are not acts of altruition. This is not acts of charity. You know, this is our duty to be a human being to those human beings who who sought to be human beings for our freedom, for our life, and for our freedom. Brother Mukwende, may you be welcomed amongst the ranks of the ancestors. May you find comfort and may you return with Garvey in the whirlwind. Garvey said, look for me in the whirlwind. And Mufundi, I'll be looking for you with Garvey, George Edward Tate, Irvin Davis, El Haj Malik Shabazz, with, Bob Knox, Johnny and Rufo. I think I said Irvin Davis, I'll say it again. Lambe Braff, Tris Lumumba. We look for you and we welcome you to come be with us in the whirlwind to continue our liberation. This is Onajima Weed, thanking you for listening to some thoughts, this commemoration and formal commemoration on the beloved, my beloved friend, hero, Richard Mufundi Lake out of Birmingham, Alabama. Everyone, affirm life, affirm our freedom, and support those who fought and continues to fight for our life and our freedom. This is Onajima Weed signing out. Till next week, everyone be well.